A story is told, friends, of an atheist who wanted to persuade his son with his philosophy of life, who, much to his concern, was getting his son was getting interested in the Christian faith. So the atheist father prepared a very attractive plaque and hung it on the wall where his son could see it every day. The plaque said, "God is nowhere." And when the little boy came home from Sunday school that day, he saw the plaque and was very excited. He said to his father, "That's exactly what my teacher has been teaching me all along. God is now here." Isn't that something? God, friends, is now here. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And what a great truth this is. God is right here with us. He is right here with us. And wherever we go, whether we lay down our heads on the pillow to sleep tonight, He is with us. Whether we get up in the morning, He is with us, and go to work, He is with us. He is always now here. This is what I call, friends, an attribute of God known as omnipresence. That God is present everywhere. Pastor Ray Pritchard says that our topic of God's omnipresence is one of the most difficult doctrines in the entire Bible. The question, "Where is God?" is being asked by people all over the place. The seekers want to know, "Where is God?" The skeptics, those who are guilty of sin and who want to run away, want to know, "Where is God?" Those of us who are hurting because we feel abandoned by God, we sometimes cry out, "Where is God?" And the reason for this is because we have nothing to compare it with. We can only be in one place at one time. I can't even be in two places at one time. I can't be sitting here and be in my bedroom at the same time. I can only be here one time, one place at one time. And we look at God, and today we are reminded that God is everywhere at the same time. Isn't that marvelous? Doesn't that make you feel great about a God you are serving who is so awesome? Friends, I like how an author by the name of Paul Little, he states this. He says that God is not a substance spread out in a thin layer all over the earth. All of God is in Chicago. All of God is in Calcutta. All of Him is in Cairo. All of Him is Caracas, is in Caracas, at once and at the same time. In other words, friends, God is not scattered with a little bit of Him here and a little bit of Him here and a little bit of Him in Smoky Lake. No, all of Him is in Smoky Lake. All of Him is with you. And that's the marvelous thing about this, friends. He is fully present in every place. Wherever he is there in the fullness of His being. Someone has also said that God's presence is like the air we breathe. Air is odorless, colorless, and invisible. Most of the time, we don't even think about the air we breathe. Yet, we depend on it for our very existence. Likewise, God's presence is all around us. And if ever it is withdrawn, none of us will survive for even a moment. I like the story I was telling the little children there at the church. One of the readers' digest stories is about a lady and a son named Doug. And when Doug was a little boy, he was looking up at the moon one night and he asked, "Mom, is God in the moon?" And Mom explained that God is everywhere. "Well, is God in my tummy?" the little boy asked. "Well, I suppose so," she responded, not sure where these questions were leading. And then little Doug declared, "Mom, God wants candy." This is what David is, the psalmist is saying in Psalm 139. Last week we looked at the first six verses of Psalm 139, where David is talking about God knows everything, that God is omniscient or omniscient. But not only is God, does he know everything, but God is everywhere, and in, he is with us. And in verse 7 to 12, David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day." Listen to this part. "For darkness is as light to you." Friends, isn't that fantastic? I don't even know why anybody will want to escape God's presence. But I know that several people have tried. And the reason why people try to escape God's presence is because we are trying to hide our sin from God. Look at Adam and Eve. After they sinned, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden." Isn't that a foolish thing to try and do, friends? To try and hide from God's presence? But sin does that. Sin makes us want to escape God's presence. And so David starts off by talking about God's presence in terms of the highest and the lowest. This is what David is saying. He's talking about two different extremes here to illustrate God's omnipresence. If you could scale the highest mountain, that's Mount Everest, which is 29,000 feet high, God is there. Well, if you jump on a plane and you go to 35,000 feet, God is there. What if you get into a spaceship and you rocket yourself out into outer space? Well, God is there too, friends. God is everywhere. You must remember that in the early days of space exploration, a Russian cosmonaut suggested there wasn't any God. He said, "I didn't see him in outer space. So there obviously is no God." I like what W.A. Criswell, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, what he said and what he announced to his congregation about this guy. He said, "If this Russian cosmonaut had stepped out of his spacecraft, he would have met God in a hurry." Isn't that true? In other words, friends, you can go as high as you want to. God is there. David said, even man, he says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there." But then he also says, "If I'm going as low as I can go, you are there as well." He says, "If I make my bed in the depths, Now, other versions, if you look at the New King James Version, it doesn't say, he says, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I make, the New Living Translation says, if I make my bed in the grave, you are there. The North American Standard Version says, Bible says, if I make my bed in Sheol. What David is saying here, friends, he's referring to the heart of the earth, the lowest you can go. He's saying, "You are. If I go high, you're there. If I go low, you are there." Friends, while David may have wanted to run away from God at different points of his life, he understands there is no way you can go on this earth because God is there as well. Friends, God, you can never get to a place where he's not there. I love what Saint Augustine said. He said it, the only way to flee from God is to flee to God. Because friends, it is there in God alone that we can find relief from the punishment of sin that we deserve, that we can find forgiveness and freedom from the guilt of sin. So instead of trying to run away and know that God is with you, even when you run away, you run to God and you find release from your sins. Unlike the pagan deities, whose authority was limited to certain geographical areas of operation, the Lord's authority, the Lord's presence extends to the heavens and to the depths of the earth. Listen what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. I love this verse. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. God says, am I only a God nearby? Declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. God is telling us through Jeremiah, I am everywhere, guys. That's my nature. That's who I am. That's an attribute of mine. I am omni. Omni means everywhere, everything. I am everywhere, friends. Now, I thank God for this. I thank God. It doesn't mean that God is to be identified with his creation. Listen carefully now. It doesn't mean that God is to be identified with his creation. That's the false teaching of pantheism. Pantheism teaches that God and his creation are one, that God is merely an impersonal force or a force of the laws of nature. Steven Spielberg in the Star Wars movie, he tried to teach this. He said, may the force be with you. This is not true, friends. You know why? God does not become a tree. God is not in a flower. You can't look at a rose and say, I'm holding God. No, God is not the sky. God is not rocks, etc. God is not some impersonal force out there who is one with nature. God is personal, friends. He is separate and distinct from his creation. He is transcendent above his creation. And yet at the same time, he is present with his creation. Isn't that wonderful? God is present with his creation. He's above and beyond, but present. That's transcendence. And that is what leads you and I to a right relationship with the wonderful person who created us for himself, to into a precious fellowship with the Lord our God, the creator of heaven and earth. So the question is, where can I go from your presence? And where can I flee from your spirit? The answer is simple. Nowhere. You can go nowhere. Because God is present everywhere. Listen, friends, David then goes and describes God's presence from the farthest to the furthest. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. if I rise on the wings of the dawn. Oh, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, David says, man, that's fast. And if I settle on the far side of the sea, that's far. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Remember how David started? He started by talking about God's presence using vertical terms. He is the highest and the lowest. And now he uses horizontal terms. He is as far as the east is from the west. As far as you go east and west, friends, you can never go beyond God's presence. You can never go beyond God's presence. If I say, let's go west from here to Edmonton. When we get to Edmonton, west is still further. So wherever you go west, there's more west. Wherever you go east, there's more east. And so this is the presence of God, horizontally, vertically. It's all over, friends. God's presence is everywhere. I love his reference to speed. He says, you know what? Even if I rise on the wings of the dawn. What a beautiful description. Do you know, friends, for those of you who like trivia, you like information. When those rays appear, the morning rays, when the dawn comes in, those morning rays are traveling at a speed, the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Do you know that? Can you go faster than that? Do you know of anything else that goes faster than that? No. This is what David is saying. He says, man, you know, when those rays come, as fast as they come in, Lord, your presence is faster than that. So in other words, to go from the earth to the moon, 2 seconds. That's how light gets to the moon. 2 seconds. Friends, no matter how fast you go, God is right with you, directing you and guiding you. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, isn't that something, friends? I love the next phrase. If I settle on the far side of the sea, no matter how far you go into the sea, friends, God is there with you. Do you know that David had never seen the ocean? Eh? He didn't know how big the Pacific Ocean is. David had no idea how big the Atlantic Ocean is. But he's saying, listen, man, even if I settle on the far side of it, you are there. Isn't that something, friends? No matter how far you travel from home, even to the furthest side of the sea, he has his powerful right hand there for us, leading us, protecting us, and caring for us. What a wonderful, comforting truth that is. I think it was in July, friends, we spent 4 weeks talking about Jonah. You remember how Jonah found this out the hard way? We read in chapter 1, he's commissioned by God to go and preach to the great city of Nineveh. He was to tell them how wicked they were and how they needed to turn back to God from their sin. Jonah didn't like his assignment, not because he was against preaching to the Ninevites, but because he knew that God was going to show them some mercy and grace. These people were the mortal enemies of Israel. And Jonah wanted no part of God's redemptive plan for them. Jonah didn't want them to get saved. So what does he do? Our brother Jonah flees from God. He learned the hard way, didn't you? Don't you agree? He ran away from God. I'm getting out of the presence of God, he thought. In fact, we know that instead of heading east to Nineveh, he booked a boat that was sailing in the exact opposite to Tarshish. He went west instead of east. Scholars tell us he went to Spain, trying to get as far away from Nineveh and as far away from God as he could. He probably breathed a sigh of release. Yes. He probably thought, man, I've got it made. I have outwitted God. I am in the clear. But brother Jonah found out that God was with him on the ship. What he also found out later, that God was with him in the belly of the fish. And like David, Jonah investigated the heights and the depths. He investigated the west and the east. He investigated the land and the sea. And he could not find a place where God was not. Isn't that marvelous? Wherever Jonah went, God's hand was there to guide him. His right hand was holding him. Friends, God is always with you, no matter where you are. Many times, you feel that you are alone. Ross and I were talking about, because of this COVID-19, many people are struggling with loneliness. Let me tell you something, friends. If you are one of those people, know immediately that God is with you. You are never alone. Don't forget that, friends. He is right there with you. His hand is there. He's protecting you. And then David describes God's presence from the lightest to the darkest. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The third part of God's presence is light and darkness. Some people think that maybe God cannot see in the dark. Do you know that lots of sins are committed in the dark? I heard the police are really busy at night. Hey? People are stealing cars and breaking into houses at night, committing crimes because they feel that nobody can see them. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because of their deeds are evil. Friends, God can see in the dark. Let me say this clearly. God can see in the dark as well as he can see in the light. Darkness is as light to him. He doesn't need infrared light, night vision to see in the dark as we do. He can see in the dark too. I love that. He's present in the dark too. David played around with the idea that if he had just did some stuff in the dark, then he would at last be out of the reach of God's presence. It's like playing the game of hide and seek with the children. Sometimes children think that when it's their turn to hide, they can stand in the middle of the room or in the corner of their room with their eyes closed tight, and that you can't see them because they can't see you. It was dark for them, but remember, it was light for you. John taught us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. So if God is light, his presence guarantees light. He can even lighten the dark places. Everywhere, everything we do, whether we do it and we can be seen or whether we can't be seen, is done in the full presence. Listen to this. Is done in the full presence of our holy, majestic, and ever present God. Isn't that marvelous? That's the best thing you heard today. You mean I'm never alone? No, sir. God is watching. And as I said last week, friends, listen, when we were talking about God knowing everything, and now I'm saying God is with you in everything. He's not like, let me see where these people are. You're such a terrible person. I can see you in the dark there. See? He's not like that. You know what he's doing? He's saying, guys, lighten up. I'm here. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not there as a big with a big stick trying to find fault with you. I am there because I want to be with you. I'm there for my hand to protect you. I'm there to bless you. Praise the Lord. But what about those of us who are not trying to hide from God? Maybe you are afraid. Maybe you are afraid of something. You are afraid of this COVID-19. You are afraid of other sicknesses and financial stress, and you are afraid of all relationship problems and so on. Rest assured, friends, that God's presence is with you. You don't have a choice. He loves you so much that he wants to be with you. Do you see that, friends? He wants to be with you. He doesn't have to. He wants to. I've heard little stories, a cute story of a little girl who was left alone at home one night because her parents had to go away for some emergency meetings. They tried to assure her that everything will be okay. The house will be locked up and everything will be fine, and they will be back as soon as they could. Unfortunately, the meeting took longer than they thought, and they were concerned that this little girl's going to be angry and upset when they returned home. So when they returned home, they asked her if she was okay. Oh, she said, I wasn't afraid. When you are here, God expects you to take care of me. But when you are gone, he does it all by himself. God is with you, taking care of you all by himself. And that's just the way God does it. The other story is this little boy was drinking his milk before he went to bed. He spilled milk all over the kitchen floor. His mom told him to go out to get the mop on the back porch. He said, no, mommy. It's dark out there and I'm scared. The mother tried to reassure him that Jesus is with him and that Jesus will be there and that not, he has nothing to be afraid of. And finally, he mustered up the courage to stick his head out the door and he called out in the darkness. He said, Lord, if you're there, could you hand me the mop, please? Friends, we don't need to be afraid. That's how some of us live our lives, though. We're scared. Many times we are paralyzed by fear. Take God at his word. There is nothing to fear. Why? God is with us. See that? God is with us. That's the truth of the psalm. The darkness and light are both alike to God. It doesn't make any difference. Years ago, I told you, and you remember, the story of how American Indians used to train their young braves. They had a unique way of training their young braves. On the night of the young boy's 13th birthday, on the threshold of manhood, after learning hunting and fishing and scouting skills, he was put to one final test. He was put into a dark, dense forest and was expected to spend the entire night alone. Up until that point, he had never been separated from his family and his tribe, where he had lots of security. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. After taking off the blindfold There he was in the thick woods. And after he had been there what seemed like an eternity in this pitch black darkness, finally dawn would break and the first rays of sunlight would break through the dense forest. And he would look around and to his utter astonishment, he would see down the path an outline of a man standing there holding a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night, watching over his son, protecting him, even though he could not see him. What a great illustration of our Father, friends, who's there, even though we cannot see him. He's watching over us, protecting us. He is with us. Friends, even in the deepest darkness of depression, of discouragement, of difficult trials, of sickness, of problems, we are always in the all-present, all-seen, ever-present eye of God. He is with us. Let me quote one more verse for you. In Hebrews 4, verse 13. It puts it so lovely. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Isn't that a sobering verse in the Bible? God telling us nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eye of him to whom we must give account. Friends, I want to close with a story. It's a lovely story. A story about a young man and his father. This teenager lived alone with his dad, and the two of them had a very special relationship. Even though the son never missed a practice or a football game, he was always on the bench. His faithful father was always in the stands with words of encouragement for him. And when the young man went to college, he decided to try out for the football team as a substitute. One day while at college, he trotted onto the practice field shortly before the big playoff game. The coach met him with a letter. The young man read it and became deathly quiet. Swallowing hard, he mumbled to the coach, "My father died this morning. Is it all right if I miss practice today?" The coach put his arm gently around his shoulder and said, "Take the rest of the week off, son, and don't even plan to come to the game on Saturday." Well, Saturday arrived and the game was not going well. In the third quarter, when the team was 10 points behind, a silent young man quietly slipped into the empty locker room and put on his football gear. As he ran onto the sidelines, the coach and the players were astounded to see their faithful teammate back so soon. "Coach," the young man said, "please let me play. I just got to play today." The coach pretended not to hear him. There was no way he wanted his worst player in his close playoff game. But the young man persisted, and finally, feeling sorry for the child, the young man, the coach gave in. "All right," he said, "you can go in." Before long, the coach, the players, and everyone in the stands could not believe their eyes. This little unknown who had never played before was doing everything right. The opposing team could not stop him. The score was soon tied. And in the closing seconds of the game, this young man intercepted a pass and ran all the way back to the winning touchline, or for the winning touchline. The fans cheered. His teammate hoisted him onto their shoulders. Finally, after the stands had emptied and the team had showered and left the locker room, the coach noticed a young man was sitting quietly in the corner all alone. The coach came to him and said, "Kid, I can't believe it. You were fantastic. Tell me what got into you. How did you do it?" He looked at the coach with tears in his eyes and said, "Well, you knew my dad died, but did you know that my dad was blind?" The young man swallowed hard and forced a smile. "Dad came to all my games, but today was the first time he could see me play. I wanted to show him I could do it." Friends, God is at all your games. In all your life. And he is not blind. In fact, he sees everything and knows everything. He's cheering for you today. He's your biggest fan. Allow his presence, friends. His omnipresence to motivate you to be sold out to his service and in worship of him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we approach you, Lord. We know that you are with us all the time. Sometimes we feel ashamed that you are with us and seeing us when our behavior isn't desirable, where our words are not what you want us to say, when we are filled with fear, when we are terrified of our circumstances, when we are lonely, when we are depressed and despondent, discouraged. Today, Lord, you have taught us, you have reminded us that you are with us always. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so even when we are sleeping in the darkness of the night, you are right there with us. Even when we are sitting alone, thinking about the hardships of life and the loneliness of life, you are right there with us. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for always being present with us. Help us to walk in that. In other words, Lord, as we go forth from this life, from this time, the rest of the day, the rest of the week and the month and the year and so on, that we will be mindful of your presence with us and our lives will reflect the gratitude we have that God Almighty, God who is faithful and loving, the God who is holy, the God who is all-knowing, is the God who is always with us. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to remember that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.